That's a good point. We haven't, but I think we probably will. Yeah. Okay.
One more question. One more then.
Have you looked at shorter term exposure times to the store product equals to the gel? Because you were holding them for multiple days.
Right. Right. No. And what it appears that once they get around that gel, they perish pretty quickly. You'll see what we saw was these beetles basically dead in the vicinity of the gel. It acted pretty fast. Yeah.
I guess the question is, you have both broken grain and whole grain pests. Is it just contact or is it feeding that's causing the kill?
I don't know. Oh. I'll be wrong. Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thanks. Thanks, Phil.
Their early stage. That way you can reduce the insect's use and also increase your effectiveness of the bed bug program, management program. There are some studies on the bed bug behavior associated with non-chemical and chemical lures of cures, you will say. The different surface type can affect the bed bug behavior. They would like to prefer to stay or crawl on a rough surface rather than a smooth surface. Also, the heat is a very important non-chemical cues that can affect the bedbug behavior. A study by Rene showed that bedbugs can detect a 2 degree Celsius difference from a distance, a few centimeters. Different odors can affect the bed bug behavior. The perspiration can have various aspects of the influence, but that should be further studied, certainly. Another study by Marx, published in 1955, also showed the results that the temperature can certainly affect the bed bug behavior. So they can detect a difference of 1 to 2 degrees Celsius. From 3 centimeters. Bedbugs can pursue men from 1.5 meters. I'm not sure that's still correct. Bedbugs can detect a nest odor from 75 centimeters. Many hematophagous insects are attracted to certain chemical cues. Here are two examples well studied and well known. One is octinol, the other is L-lactic acid. Octinol was first isolated from cattle odors. It's very common volatiles from mushrooms. When it's combined with CO2, it's very attractive to certain mosquito species and tsetse flies. L-lactic acid, when itself is used, is not very attractive to mosquitoes, but when it's combined with the carbon dioxide is very attractive to some mosquito species. By the way, L-lactic acid is a main component of the human body odor. This slide shows the response of a Trichoma infestans. Is a bug that transmits the vector, is a vector for the Chagas disease in South America. This bug is in the family Rudoviidae, studies by Barroso and Lazzari in 2004 showed that CO2 is a very strong attractant to the bug, and when it combined with L-lactic acid, it has the L-lactic acid has a very strong synergistic effect to the bug behavior. Octinol itself also has a strong effect to the orientation behavior of this Trichoma infestans species. Further studies by Barroso and Lazzari showed that these three short-chain fatty acids, propionic acid, butyric acid, and valeric acid, all of them didn't have a significant effect to the orientation of the bug. But when three combined together, and L-lactic acid, the number five, they had a very strong effect on the orientation behavior, behavior of the bug. But the combination alone, like number four, they didn't have any effect to the behavior of the bug. So they have to be combined with L-lactic acid, or they combined with the CO2, they would even have a much stronger effect to the orientation behavior of the Triatoma species. Until now, there are no products to attract bed bugs, but there is a patent that was registered in 2007. This patent described some designs that can attract or kill bed bugs. Basically, the designs include two components. One is the sticky surface, the other is the bait or heat. This pattern doesn't have any data to show the effectiveness of the different designs. It just shows the ideas how the trap can attract or kill bed bugs. The objectives of our study are two. One is to evaluate the attractiveness of a pitfall trap for monitoring the bed bug. And then the second one was to evaluate the chemical lures for attracting bed bugs. This trap design, the trap is composed of three parts. The bottom is the inverted dog bowl, so that there is a trench, sorry, there is a trench there, so you can put a killing agent. The outer surface is wrapped around with the fabric so that the bed bugs can crawl. The middle part is a cylinder, heated cylinder with temperature 44 to 47 degrees Celsius. Top is a CO2 release device, but in this study I didn't hook up the CO2 tank. But anyway, this is just the whole design in order to attract and kill bed bugs. Basically, this would include a CO2 release device, a heating device, the trap. Also, on the left side, that's the lure. The lure is, in this case, we have octanol and octanol plus L-lactic acid. It is in the plastic housing with small holes on the surface so that the chemical can be slowly released. And this plastic strip was attached to that cylinder. So that cylinder is heated to about 44 to 47 degrees, so the heat actually can also speed up the release of the chemical. By the way, the size of the cylinder is about a rabbit size, so that it mimics a rabbit. We did the first study in a parliament with more than 1,000 bed bugs. The building is here. It's a low-income elderly people live the building, or it's a one-bedroom apartment. We put three traps in the apartment beside the bed. We rotated every 1 to 4 days. Here's the result. You can see all of them caught a lot of bed bugs, and seems that the heat plus chemical lures are more effective than heat alone. The second experiment with slightly modified traps. Basically, the cylinder was horizontal location so that it can be placed under the bed. And we have five different treatments. Here's the design. It's a 4x4 Latin square design with four pairs of treatments and four apartments. Each apartment will place one pair of traps. One is the untreated control without heat, without the lure. This one with the heat plus chemical lure. Here's the result. First, you can see that the control caught the least number of bed bugs. The other traps had at least 2 to 8 times more bed bugs than the control. And it seems that the mixed lure with five parts are more effective than the other one. So in conclusion, we found that the heat significantly increased the trap catches, and there is a trend that a mixed lure is more effective than simple lure. We think certainly from these experiments that pitfall traps with heat and chemical lures have the potential to become a very useful tool for many for monitoring bed bug infestations, and we should certainly further investigate the synergistic effect among CO2, heat, and chemical lures. This study didn't include CO2 because of some technical issue. Thank you.
Charlie Helfert, Janet Hurley, and Molly Keck have all helped with this project. In case you haven't noticed or thought about it, the elderly population in the U.S. is on the rise, and we're all part of that trend. I didn't think that was going to be that funny, but I guess it is. More than 25% of us age 25 and older can expect and anticipate a nursing home stay sometime in our lifetime. So remember the old saying, be nice to your children. Now, unfortunately, in the South, where fire ants are indigenous, there are problems with fire ants in nursing homes. And this chart is one that I prepared for the Urban Conference a year or two ago. It shows the number of cases that I've been able to document through news stories and through the medical literature regarding fairly severe cases of stinging of nursing home patients in their beds. I've got one of these highlighted here, the 2002 case in Tyler, Texas, with a 91-year-old female who was stung over 600 times in her bed. She died 6 months later of unrelated causes, more than likely. But there was a $300,000 liability award in that particular case, and I'm going to come back to that case a little later with some of the other story I'm telling here. Objectives of this research were, one, to assess the level of awareness amongst nursing home staff and administrators about fire ants and their threats to nursing home patients. We wanted to develop and evaluate a training program for nursing home staff related to fire ants. And we wanted to evaluate the effectiveness of different management strategies to keep fire ants out of indoor areas of nursing homes. Now, we located 18 nursing homes for this study. The sites were located in Dallas, Austin, San Antonio, Houston, and Northeast Texas. So they were all in the eastern half of the state where fire ants are endemic. This slide shows one of the newer homes that we worked with, which has a fairly typical construction. You can see the, I can't do that with the mouse, not changing. You can see the fire ant prone landscaping, of course, around the facility. The single level of the nursing home, which is true for most nursing homes. And also the fact that there are air conditioning units and windows which are prone to having gaps around them, as well as, you know, lots of other types of gaps in the lower areas of these buildings, especially as they begin to age. Now, we conducted administered oral surveys to our nursing home administrators and staff, and the staff included maintenance staff, nursing staff, and care staff, as well as the pest management professionals that were servicing these sites. We asked administrators and staffs, first of all, have fire ants ever been found indoors in a nursing home where you worked? And as you can see from this data, 73% of the administrators said yes. A little over 50% of the staff said yes, although you notice the staff, about 20% of the staff weren't quite sure. They were seeing ants apparently, but weren't quite sure if they were dealing with fire ants or not. Then we asked the question, are you aware of any instances where a nursing home patient has been stung by fire ants at a facility where you worked? And administrators, 52% said that they were, staff, 32, but again, a fair number of staff weren't sure. Now, two of the 19 administrators that we surveyed for the study admitted to having a patient stinging incident in the current home where they were working. So the homes that we, two of the 18 homes where we worked had recent fire ant stinging cases. We asked administrators specifically if they were aware of any instances where nursing home patients had been seriously stung by fire ants at other homes inside or outside Texas. And as you can see, a pretty high percentage of awareness amongst our administrators about nursing homes, serious fire ant stinging cases, about 90%. So there's not a lot of ignorance amongst at least the administrators about fire ants. We asked, within the past year, has your facility conducted staff training in which you included information on what to do in case fire ants were observed? And this was surprising to me. Almost 60% of the administrators said that they had conducted some kind of training. Now, in most cases, we know these trainings were very minimal. There may have just been mentions in staff training, but the fact that they were talking to their staff about it was fairly significant. The best explanation I can come up with for this is that Tyler nursing home case that I pointed out earlier had recently settled in court, and it was widely known about the liability settlement that occurred in that case, and also the state regulatory agency that oversees nursing homes, the CMS inspectors, have been harping on this issue with nursing homes and encouraging them to train their staff. So 95% of the administrators said that they would make use of fire ant training materials if they were available. Now, we did develop a staff training presentation. It's approximately 12 minutes long. It can be it was designed to be either self-running with audio, or it can be manually presented. Kim and Wizzy and the others in our group did a lot of these just orally without the standard running audio. The presentation covers the basics of fire ant identification, including how to identify them indoors, risks, and appropriate responses to fire ants. This is one of the images that are included in that particular training program, and this graphic display. This is actually a patient who had been stung in Florida. Their family had given us permission to use the image in training materials because of wanting people to know what fire ants are capable of doing in a nursing home, and this makes an impression on staff. We did some pre-post evaluations with staff regarding the training to see how much they had learned. This is an interesting technique. We don't actually do a pre-survey and a post-survey. We do one post-survey, but ask them in that survey how to rate themselves and how knowledgeable they were about the question prior to the survey, and then rate themselves now prior to the training and then after the training. When asked about feeling how comfortable they were recognizing fire ant mounds outdoors, the scores went up after training by 29%. About identifying fire ants indoors, we increased their understanding of that about 38%. We didn't have a huge impact in increasing awareness about fire ant risk. We had a 12% increase in understanding there, 20% increase about what to do about fire ants if they're found indoors, and a 25% increase in understanding about what to do about fire ants to effectively care for their nursing home patients. So we were making an impact, a significant impact, in knowledge and understanding amongst staff. And probably as the buzz kind of goes down from that incident that happened a couple of years ago, these sorts of trainings would have even more impact on the staff. As far as management strategies go, we looked at three management strategies outside: perimeter sprays, broadcast residual insecticides, and broadcast baits. We used a variety of products, and these were kind of more interested in the strategy rather than the actual product being used. However, we had some difficulty assessing the impact of those, so we had a lot of variability in our results. The perimeter sprays did show the shortest effective life, 2 to 3 months, and we assessed these by looking at fire ant counts in vials that were placed outside around the outside perimeter of the nursing home. The fire ant sampling indoors proved to be very difficult. We used sticky cards. We would have preferred to use baits, but we were concerned about liability with putting attractants indoors. So sticky cards tended to disappear quite a bit during this study. And we're still looking at the results of that. One interesting thing that did come out of the oral survey was the estimated annual pest control costs as a function of patient population. The range was pretty wide, between $1,200 a year and $16,000 a year for pest control. There was no significant overall correlation between cost and patient population. However, when we ran a no-intercept model on the regression, we did get a significant relationship, and the average cost per patient came out at approximately $33 per year for pest control. In summary, nursing home sting incidents are more common than generally believed. We take our data and we run some simple mathematics on it and projections. I estimate that between 1.25% and 2.5% of all nursing home facilities have some kind of a stinging incident per year in Texas. That would work out to between 18 and 24 nursing home stinging incidents per year. Now, that's far more than what's ever shows up in the newspapers, as you might suppose. Awareness of the fire ant problem is relatively high among facility administrators. Average cost per year pest control per patient is about $33. And a short 15-minute annual training program can significantly improve staff awareness of risks to patients by fire ants. And I'd like to acknowledge the Texas Fire Ant Research and Management Project for funding for this study, and Margie Barton, my research assistant, for technical assistance with the data. Any questions? Do I have time?
Setting. Just a brief introduction about Western. Western is a family-owned company. It's the seventh largest company. At the background, you see a retirement party for one of our employees who retired after 28 years. We have a lot of loyal employees. Similar to our employees, we also have a lot of loyal customers, and Western invariably does close to 100,000 accounts each month. I bring this point up because being one of the largest company, we also feel that what we do out in the field can have an impact in the industry. A lot of the tools that we use, treatment strategies, and the product we use reflects what's happening in the industry. During a regular service, what our technician will do is he'll go and do an inspection, address any conducive conditions, and also do a treatment. As part of a regular service, we use